Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. While you're turning there, I want to say hello and welcome to our visitors for the first time who've come today. Forgive me if I can't remember your names. I think it's Art and Darcy, and then there's Angel and Carmi and Akiho-san from Ishikawa. So welcome to our fellowship, our church. I hope that you feel the love and warmth of God and his people here. And also, I love to sing two of the songs we sang today, I Surrender All and Because He Lives. The reason I love those two songs in particular is my Lola, Lola is grandmother in Filipino, Tagalog. And Lola would, she lived with us. And I remember when she's cleaning the house, she's on her hands and knees, you know, wiping the floor, and she'd be singing, you know, I surrender all, and, you know, because he lives, you know. She was in the choir, and she would practice singing in the choir while she was cleaning the house. So I always think of my Lola when I sing those songs. Speaking of mothers, grandmothers, today is Mother's Day, and typically our church, the Japanese service, honors our mothers with presents, gifts, flowers. However, in the International English Service, we're not as resourceful and diligent as we ought, but still, we want to honor, take a moment to honor our mothers today. So, please, if you are a mother, I would ask kindly if you could please stand to your feet, and we want to recognize you today. Please, even Starsha, dozo, please stand up. I know, don't be shy, don't be embarrassed. Well, go ahead, be embarrassed and be shy, but still, you're being honored today. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Not yet, don't sit down yet. Okay, so I want to just give a brief pastoral prayer for you all. So would you pray with me as we pray for our moms? Honor your mother and your father that you may live long in the land that your Lord, your God, will give to you. Lord, we follow this command. Because it's a good command. Your law is good, and we rejoice in your good commands. But Lord, we think of the mothers standing now, and we appreciate them. We ask that you would fill them with the knowledge that they are absolutely appreciated for their sleeplessness, their weariness, their tears, their anxiousness, their sacrifice, their work. And we ask you that you would strengthen them all the more on this day to do the work that you have called them to do. And Lord, not only them, but for many of us whose mothers are far away, whom we've had to email, whom we've had to call, or yet still to call, we ask your Spirit to lead us to remember that, and that you will help us to honor them as you honor the mothers present here. And Father, we also think of those of us who have mothers who have passed, who we remember dearly, even our grandmothers. And we thank you for their memory and for the memory of their great love that they've given to us. And as we honor them, we honor you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you very much. Amen. So we're in Galatians chapter 5. And it's not particularly obvious, but I wanted to make this a kind of mini series on two books that Paul has written, the book of Romans and Galatians. A few weeks ago, I preached on Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then last week I preached on Romans chapter 8. And in there we have verse 12 where Paul says that if the spirit of him, God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, then he who raised Christ will also give life to your mortal bodies. And so I wanted to show you what it means in the Bible where it talks about what it is to be a Christian. What is a Christian? What does it mean in the teachings of Galatians and of Romans to follow Jesus? And there is a kind of pattern of thinking, a way of thought that is very clear. One is you have to be born again. To become a Christian is to understand that the way I am now needs to die. Not only do I deserve death, but I need to die. Why? In order that I might truly live. And the good news of Jesus is that by trying to escape death, you can have life, which is what everybody's doing. Jesus has come, and he says, no. I will take your death, and in exchange, I give you my life. And if you would put faith in my death, you can have that new life, that new birth. And so the Christian says at the very beginning, when he opens the door to the kingdom of heaven, he says, narahodo. I have been crucified. I am dead. And now I'm in this life on the other side of the door. But it's not me, it's Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's the step one. But then, that's not all. Because it's like this wonderful idea that Eric and I were talking last week, and he was talking about one of our favorite preachers, one of my favorite preachers, and he had this image. Many people think of religion like those temples high in the mountains. Are you familiar, like those old Chinese temples, or maybe the temples around Japan, where they're at the top of the mountain, and at the bottom of the mountain, there's the big red mon, or gate, and there's the many steps that go up, and you climb, and you climb, and you climb, and you climb. And if you climb enough, you finally come to where God is. But the beautiful thing about Christianity is it's not like that. You don't climb and climb and climb, and then God will receive you. No, 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 no. The good news of Jesus Christ is that God has come down to us. Amen. And he's come down and he says, I will receive you now, just as you are. So you don't go on this long road to then come to the door of God and then God will open and, okay, that's to be, no, that's not it. Christianity is the opposite. You come to the door first. Actually, God brings the door to you. And then through the cross, that's the key to open the door to the kingdom of heaven. And he opens the door, and then from there, you go on living. And the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself up for you. Now, that brings us to Galatians chapter 5. What is it? How do I live this life? Oh, it's good. It's very, very good. Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 5, it's in your bulletin. I invite you to have your own Bible open. It's also on the screen for reference. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 25. So, oh, yeah, sorry. Let's read together from verse 22. Okay, I'll read from 16 to 21. Please join me at verse 22. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's read together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The very words of God. Amen? So, our subject today is spirit stepping. And that's just my terrible attempt at a creative title. It comes from verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I pray. I've been praying for you this whole week. It's my job. And I've been praying, oh God, bring us your people on Sunday. Bring us God's people. Let God's people be God's people. Even if they're not God's people yet, bring them anyway. Bring us non-believers. Bring us new Christians. Bring us old Christians. Just bring us your people, God. I want to preach the gospel. I want to give good news. And I want to teach the word. and help your people live this word. And I believe that this word is something not only for new Christians, it is a word for all Christians. And it is not only the word for Christians, but it is a word for Christians or people who are going to be Christians. And maybe you think you're a Christian, but maybe today you'll realize, ah, I now understand what it means to be a Christian. So that's our prayer for today. What does it mean? Ah, it's not just believing, yes, Jesus died, and yes, Jesus rose, and yes, I have to confess, and I will believe in my heart. That's good. You confess with your heart, excuse me, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. That's good. But I told you last week, and I'll tell you this week again, good doctrine will not be enough to save you. You're not saved by the right belief. You're saved by the Spirit of the living God. You're saved because God has put His Spirit in you and He has given you new life. That's how you're saved. And so, if any man would be born again, he must be born of the Spirit. And that's what it's talking about here. Verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. That word walk. In other translations, it says live by the Spirit. And so I want to just give three things that we find here in our text. I know that there's 15 acts of the flesh and 9 fruits of the Spirit. I don't want to go through all of that. I've done that before. Maybe I'll go again someday. But today, verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Okay? And look at verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit. All right? So walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. And then the last verse, all the way in verse 25. Live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does it mean to be a Christian? How do you live as a follower of Jesus Christ? You need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And if you believe that Jesus rose from the dead to give you new life, you have the Holy Spirit. You have Him living in you. Just read Galatians chapter 1 all the way through chapter 5. But it's all there. Now, there's three things there. Walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. So that's my outline right there. To live a Christian life, walk by the Spirit. Be aware. There's an awareness. There's a new understanding, an ishki, consciousness of the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit. There's not just awareness, but there's submission to God's Spirit. You can know something is there, but you can ignore it, right? You can know what your teacher is telling you, but you don't have to do it. But the Christian is led by the Spirit, so he submits by the Spirit. You can't do number two without number one. Okay? Number one leads to number two. And then the third one, in verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. That's dependence. There's a dependence on the Spirit of God. I want to go through each one of those in just a few minutes. So, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. You know, I love this because Paul, I don't know if Paul knew, I don't know if he ever met Jesus while Jesus was doing his earthly ministry. But Jesus, you don't have to turn there. You can, just trust me, okay? But if you don't trust me, you can turn there. It's John chapter 14, all right, in verse 16. Jesus, he's telling his disciples, he's about to go to the cross. He says, disciples, I'm going to be crucified tomorrow. But don't worry, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. You will not be alone. I'm going to send you the paraclete. Para, side by side. Clete, the walker, the side walker. The translations say the counselor, okay? He's saying that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. The Holy Spirit is the one who will walk right beside you, day by day, step by step. And so Paul may be led by the Spirit to write Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say walk by the Spirit because the Spirit is walking with you. What's he mean? Understand that before you're like a boxer. You're like a fighter. Before you became a Christian, you were like those guys, the UFC with the gloves, you know, and the tight pants and the tattoos and all, you know, and they're fighting. And the fighting you were doing was fighting against God. You were fighting against what God had made you to become. God had a way for you. God has a life for you to live. God has a person he had for you to become. And you said, no, God, no. Come on. And it's the fight some of us win. We say, no, I don't ever want to be what God wants me to be. I don't need what God wants me to have. And so you fight it and you go with your own way. But many of us here, we've, by the grace of God, we have lost that fight. And he has overcome. But here's the thing. When you follow Jesus Christ and you give up and you surrender your life to God, you're in another fight. And now you're fighting, but you're not fighting God because he's on your side now. You're fighting a different something. You're fighting the flesh, what Paul calls the flesh. And you read it. There's a conflict, right, between the flesh and the spirit. And now, I don't want to preach last week's sermon. Let me just give you the one thing I gave you last week, just to catch you up. Many of us say in their Christian life, I struggle with sin, habits, blah, 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 right? My flesh, I struggle. No, it's not what the Bible says. You have the Spirit of the living God living in you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If the Spirit of God is living in you, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your body. You are not struggling with sin. Sin is struggling with you. The flesh is struggling with you. You are a child of the living God. You are the bride of Christ. You are a holy nation set apart for God. You have Jesus Christ living in you. You are a co-heir with Christ. And sin and the flesh and these old habits, they're fighting with you. And you say, no, I have this chain around my neck and it's trying to, I'm asleep. No, you're not. The devil is defeated. Jesus is on the throne. The devil is a liar. Sin will struggle with you, but to God be all the praise. He is the Alpha and Omega. He has the victory won for you. You are fighting now a fight which you will win, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay. I need to say that, because we're not aware of that. Our thinking is, I'm such a little loser. I'm so weak and I'm so fragile. Okay. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And understand that Christ has made you and healed you. He has formed you. And he has transformed you. And now there's an awareness of the Spirit. I quote, well, here I go again. For those of you who know, I coach basketball. From this spring, I'm coaching junior high. Up until this spring, I coached high school. But yesterday, we had a what's called a scrimmage. In Japanese, it's kohakusen, right? Renshuji, right? So we had a scrimmage in our team between the elder team and the younger team. Of course, the younger team was weaker, and they couldn't, you know, the older team was stronger, faster, blah, blah, blah. But I was coaching the younger team, and it was their first time to really play. They've been practicing for a year, and they never had a game yet, and the season's not begun yet, but they're having a scrimmage. And they played, they lost by 30 or 40 points. In basketball, that's a lot. But it's good. A wonderful thing happened. In the middle, like from the beginning to the middle of the game, some players were just like, oh, what do I do? You know, and they're just lost. You know, they're, where's the ball? And they turn and the ball would hit them in the face, like that. It was just bad, okay? Completely just what's going on. And then something happened at the middle of the game. Maybe I was just shouting and screaming. I don't know, but that's I do that all the game. But finally, switch on. And they understood something. I have to watch the ball. I have to try and get the ball. And when I get the ball, I have to shoot the ball. And then if the ball doesn't go into the goal, I have to lift my hands. I have to get the ball. It's called the rebound. This is something I've been teaching them for months now. But in the middle of the fight, at the middle of the game, oh, this is how you play basketball. And it was great. Because the first half, they were just so discouraged and like, ah, I don't know what to do. And then I'm yelling, get the rebound, put your hands up, get the ball, call. Okay. And there was this one kid, Otsuka-kun. He's not here, so I can talk about him. Okay, Otsuka. The whole time, Otsuka, Otsuka, rebound, Otsuka. Otsuka, 대하게. Right? And it was the last play of the game, the very end of the game. And I said, if you score 20 points, I'll be happy. We're losing by 30 points. But if you score 20, so we had 19 points. And one of the team members shot the ball. It went out. I said, Otsuka, rebound. Oh, he got the rebound. He passed to his teammate. They shot the ball. It didn't go in. All right. It was they lost. The score was 19. But I said, yes. Wakatta ne. He had an awareness. He understood. And that understanding in the middle of the game changed the way he played the game. Walk by the spirit, not by the understand, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You can play completely differently than you played before. You're not fighting a game, a fight that you're losing. You're fighting a fight that's already been won. That's the good news. Hallelujah. And so we sing. We sing of the victory that's in Christ Jesus. Be aware of it. Just let's start with that. But then you go on in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, so now that you're aware of this, not power, but person, you're aware of the person in your life, you're going to be led by the Spirit. See, you can be aware of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have to submit. Actually, a lot of the struggle is your submission. And submitting is not a word that most people do not like, because it means I don't get what I want. See, here's the thing about Christians. Many of us say we don't believe. We don't say it, but here's what we kind of believe. And I'll say it for you. It's not that I'm here to do what God wants me to do. I'm here because I believe God will help me do what I want to do. Okay, if you don't have to say amen. You can say ouch. But many Christians will say it. That promotion in Jesus' name. That boyfriend in the name of Jesus. Right? Oh, bless me, Lord. I will name it and I will claim it. I will confess it in the name of Jesus and I will possess it. By the power of God, I will believe it and receive it. Because I'm a Christian so that God can do what I want to do. Or God will help me do what I want to do. That's the Spirit of God. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, so that I can have what the world has. You don't have to say amen, okay? But that's often what we, that's the opposite of submission. How about you name and claim? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man is homeless. Can you name and claim that? How about you claim, I'm sick today, and I may not get better, but I'm still going to praise God because he's still good. Can you believe that? Can you confess? I have been crucified. It's no longer I who live. Can you receive that? Jesus, the night before he was crucified, said, no, not my will, but yours be done. Not my power, but your love for your people. Not my righteousness, but clothe them with my righteousness. Receive that. Claim that. Submit to that, and you will be led by the Spirit. And I mean led. When you submit, you're being led. You can't do that until you've been born again and you have the awareness. But I just want to invite you to repent. And I'm doing it every day. Am I trying to lead the Spirit? Am I like the dog on the leash? Just Or can God finally take me off the leash and trust that when he says, go, I will go, and when he says, sit, I will sit. That's being led by the Spirit. I need to keep going, okay? I'll get a little bit more practical later. But the third one, it says there in verse 25, aware of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, submitting to the Spirit. And then verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. So we keep in step with the Spirit of God. I love this. I when I preached this before, I didn't study enough. I thought it meant like dancing with the Spirit, you know, right? And I had that silly illustration. And then I studied a little bit more. It's even better than dancing. The word in the Greek has two meanings. The first one is like hunting, when you're hunting an animal. And what happens is there's the animal has steps, and they leaves the prints, the footprints, okay? And so when the animal has led the footprints, he'll, you know, go through the trees, and you go through the tree, and he'll come out into the open space. And so you go out into the open space, and you're saying, where's that? And you're following those steps. It's keeping in step. That's the right? Yeah, keep in step with the Spirit, right? That's the one idea. Where the Spirit is going, I'm still looking for it, but I see the steps. I see the evidence of the Spirit, and that's where I'm going to go. That's one. Second image from that Greek word is like in the marching, when they're marching. When you watch the videos of North Korea, right? And they got the big tanks, and they're all marching like, you know? Like, that's marching, okay? And they're all in step. And if what it means is there's a rhythm. Bop, 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 bop. And the captain says, faster. Bop, 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 bop. And the commander says, slower. Bop, 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 bop. And so the soldiers are dependent on the rhythm. And the soldiers are dependent on the command. And the hunter is dependent on those steps in order to find where the Spirit is going. That is dependence, keeping in step with the Spirit. Where are you? Are you hunting? Jesus says, knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Ask and the door will be opened. James, his brother, said, you draw near to God. You know what he'll do? He'll draw near to you. I mean, you don't even have to hunt. He's actually the one hunting you. But he's saying, there is a rhythm that I want you to follow. There is a pattern that I have for you that if you follow, you'll know you're being led. Pastor Chris, you're speaking in all these crazy ideas and led, you know, submit and depend. How do I know I'm doing it right? What's the evidence I'm following the Spirit? Pastor Chris, what's the fruit of the Spirit? You have nine of them. You have nine of them. How do you know you're doing it right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It comes out. And the thing is, the beautiful thing is, it's already there. This is a great idea. I teach junior high and high school. I meet lots of 13 and 14-year-old boys. You know, they're average height, but they have size 26, 27, 28 shoes, but they're 160 centimeters. They're like 4'3", but they have size 10 shoes. They're just big feet. Some of them have big hands. They're still small, but they have big feet. And so you look and you say, okay, yeah, you're gonna get bigger. You've got more to grow. It's in there. It's all there. It's just not going out there yet. You look at a small seed or an acorn. You know, inside that acorn, you wonder, is that acorn able to become a big tree? Yes. In fact, inside that acorn is enough to become 100 trees, 1,000 trees. In 1,000 years, though, all the trees in the world, all the worlds in the universe are contained in that one acorn. Peter, in 1 Peter, says, grow up into your salvation. Fill it out. All the love, all the joy, peace, patience, kindness, it's all there. But if you will be led by the Spirit, if you will submit to the Spirit, if you will keep in step with the Spirit, it's going to come out, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. That's what it means to be a Christian. I've given this story before. It's the only story I have, so forgive me if you've heard it before. I was in university. I was in a lecture about sharing Christ Jesus. I said, I want to share Jesus Christ. And a friend of mine said, there's some homeless people in the park across the street. Why don't you start there? So my friends and I started going across the street every week. And we started this kind of circle in our university, evangelism club, right? So we go out and we try to share Jesus Christ, the Bible, with whoever. And we went from parks, and one day we went to the beach, to the pier. And I'll tell you what, when you start sharing Jesus Christ with people for the first time, you are terrible at it. It doesn't go great. And every person I would meet just kind of, I don't need it, no thank you. And I felt like it's just this weird religious, you know, guy. But I knew. I said, Lord, lead me. Lord, I want to follow. Lord, I need to share this. I want to share this. I know that I'm supposed to share it. So on the pier, at Newport Beach pier, and I'm with my partner. We're walking along, same as usual. We'll talk to people. No, thank you. Whatever. See you later. We walk by someone sitting on a bench. Long hair, tattoos everywhere, and just sitting there like this. Just by himself. People walking by. And I said, nah. And I walked by him. We walked by, and we're about to leave the beach. And not me, not my friend, something in me said, you have to go back to that guy. I said, I don't know, man. Lord, I don't, you know, is that you? And so I told my friend, I said, you know what? I think God is telling us to talk to this guy. Which guy? The guy with the hair and the tattoos. And he's just, really? I don't know. All right, well, all right. So we go back. We say, hello, we're two Christians. If you have 2 minutes, would you mind us? We would like to tell you our testimony. He says, okay, go ahead. We sit down, and we just gave him the basic presentation of the gospel. And he started telling us his story. He says, you know what? My ex-girlfriend is in the restaurant. She's left me. I want to try to get her one more time. You know, and if she says no for the last time, I've got a gun at home sitting next to my bed. I'm ready to use it. And I was just asking God, what should I do? And he sent me you guys. And so I said, look, I don't know what to do. I don't help. I don't counsel people. I'm just telling you Jesus loves you. That's all I'm trying to do. And he says, okay, tell me more. I said, okay, I got to go. Here's my phone number. Call me tomorrow if you're serious. I'm at church the next day. I get a phone call. Where are you? I'm at church. I'm coming. Okay. Church is finished. I hear this. He's on this huge motorcycle. People don't go to church in motorcycles, okay? But he's just coming, he's got the helmet and just like this, right? I said, okay, Lord Jesus, just whatever you got to do. And he comes in and I, just give him the gospel presentation. Jesus came to save you from all of that. And if you will believe in him and surrender to him and give yourself to him, oh, he has given you life. He says, give it to me. If we get on our knees and we pray, he's married. He's got 5 kids. They love Jesus. He works at his church. He's got a great business. He's a Harley creator. He creates custom motorcycles. One of my longtime friends. And I just think Thank you, God, for your spirit to lead and guide and move. The Spirit of God is here. He's brought you here. And I said, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for missionaries. I've been praying for worship leaders. I've been praying for teachers and evangelists and theologians. I've been praying, God, send them by your Spirit. Lead them, guide them, bring them. So you're an answer to prayer. Now you go and answer somebody else's prayer. Somebody is searching for the God of the Bible. Okay. Submit to him. Die to yourself. Repent of your sins. Follow Jesus. That's all there is. If you will do that, I would invite you to the table. He purchased you with his blood, and he heals you with his wounds. If you would believe that, then come and receive him again. That's the communion.